This is Will's Band of the Week for December 13th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from Windows Studios in Ontario, Canada.
Hello, everyone.
Should we say Kitchener, Ontario, or
yes,
Ontario, Canada, or Kitchener, Ontario, Canada?
Yes.
Any of those?
Give you my street address, too. I don't care.
Yeah, we could do that. Just give them your address.
Exactly.
And Jason from the Green Monster of Monona, Wisconsin.
Hello.
Jason, who's dressed up like somebody who's sitting outside.
Yeah, his basement. Apparently,
everybody knows we can see each other on the video. So
right.
Yeah, I've got one of my granny's quilts, and I've got my sweater and my flannel combo. It's getting cold down in the basement already.
Ooh. That looks like a really comfortable sweater, though. And I was just saying, you know, it looks like there should be a backdrop of snow. Maybe a fireplace, but no fireplace in the studio. Probably wouldn't meet the fire code. You can't really have, you don't, I guess people do have, people, there's such thing as a finished basement with a fireplace in it, right?
I'm sure there has to be.
But I'm guessing your house is like,
I've seen them.
Your house is probably old vintage like mine, right? So there's no, you know, basement fireplaces in houses like ours.
No.
It would just burn the place down, probably. Oh, this is great. It's so fun. The second in a series, and we've got more coming. You guys
must get exhausted at this time of the year.
Well, here's
so much
the thing.
Editing, huh?
Well, you guys send me your lists. I make a playlist. It takes me maybe 5 minutes to make the playlist, maybe 10. And then I kind of have the week off because, you know, there's no pressure to, you know, listen to new music, study up on things, so it's really kind of fun because I'm just sitting back and you guys are doing the music part of it, the music work, and then
so you're saying we should get paid more, right?
Yeah, maybe you should. Yeah, there should be a labor strike. I'm just management sitting here and making you guys do all the work. So yeah. Well, anyway, I think you both have earned continued participation in the podcast with these fine lists. So, you know, hopefully I haven't built up listener expectations too much. They might think, well, he said they were going to be good. He said they were. you know, we don't need any special features, do we? Do you guys want to, you know, make any general comments? Or, you know, you could talk about honorable mentions, or we could wait for the end for that.
Actually, I have a comment. The year. How do you define the year? Because we are doing this on 10th December. I know there are no albums release after in December, but still, like, which one? I think Yola Tango came out with an album just recently. I would have liked to include that in my list, but I can't. I haven't given it any listen.
Yeah, sometimes
so
it's too late.
The albums that come out in October and November, those are also kind of like at a, like, you don't really pay much attention to them, right? As much as you would that's been released in Jan or Feb. So
yeah,
kind of, I was just wondering about that. What do
this
you guys
is,
think?
I mean, that's gonna actually play into my list a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine
with
too.
A couple of picks. So yeah, it's sort of interesting that you mentioned that. I don't want to give any spoilers.
No, but, can't do that.
But yeah, in years previous, I've pretty much always been, I don't know, if you release something in November, in November, late October, yeah, you're probably not going to make it. Because, right,
exactly.
I feel like you got to have time to really sit with it.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, so I think at least like if something is a November or December release, a rare occasion, then, you know, it'd be perfectly fair game to include that in the following year's list.
Yeah, I guess
I think. Well, think about Nicholas. He doesn't follow any rules. So, I mean, you know, exactly. As long as you're close.
Yes, I listened to that one. Very interesting. We heard Van Halen.
It wouldn't be the Nicholas Charm if he followed the rules, though. Exactly. It'd be no fun. Yeah.
And I should thank Nicholas publicly for including my EP on his top 10.
That's right.
That was very... It's an honor to be amongst anybody's top 10 list on this program. So,
yeah,
and I can't put it on my own. So it was really nice to.
You could just have like the last 10 things you've put out that could be your top 10. Yeah, this one I released in 2011, but I think it's really great. So this one's number 6. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah, I'm glad. Nicholas recognized that. Yeah, you had a very impressive year, Jason, I have to say. I mean, just with all you've done through the pandemic, it's been great.
I agree.
It's nice to channel my whenever I do have energy and get up off the couch from like doom scrolling. Like,
right.
It's been nice to have somewhere to put that energy, I guess.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I deleted a bunch of apps from my phone today. I deleted Reddit. I deleted TikTok. What else did I delete? A few others, because like you said, that doom scrolling was just, you know, driving me insane.
Yeah, I actually recently deleted Facebook and Twitter off of my phone. And I check in on them, you know, maybe once a day or something, just to see if anybody's posted anything worthwhile. But
yeah, those are some smart things to do. If you figure out that something is being counterproductive to your daily happiness, then get rid of it.
So exactly.
I could probably do that with some apps on my phone too. I've been I've started adding to my usual repertoire. So I've got like crossword puzzles now. My wife and I just decided we would try to do crossword puzzles. So we're really terrible at it.
That's good.
Anybody who does a lot of them, they would say, God, these people are dumb. But we're kind of
I'm
at
sure
an equal
level.
A
thousand times better for you than exactly. Looking at the hashtags on Twitter, like I was. For
exactly
a while.
Right. I mean, you could do even if you spend like 15 minutes on a crossword puzzle, it's more productive time than seeing what somebody on Facebook that you haven't seen for 8 years is doing. This. They went on a trip with their new girlfriend or something. Oh God! All right. Let's go. Let's start rocking.
Sure.
Anurag's name starts with an A, so he gets to go first. What is your 10th cool. favorite album of 2020, Anurag?
My 10th favorite album is Loma. The album is Don't Shy Away. I don't recall if you've covered it in the podcast. Have we?
No, except that when I saw you said something really great about it on Twitter. So I'm like, I should probably give this a listen, but I didn't listen to it a whole lot. So you're already throwing me off from your list because you had something different on the list you sent me. So it looks like number 10 got bumped.
You're kidding. I'm sorry.
This is pretty exciting.
And the song that we're going to listen to is Ocotillo. Thank you.
That's Loma.
That's nice.
Honor Rocks, yep. Number 10.
And that builds up to quite a crescendo later on in the song, and that's the best part. So we should have listened to the entire song.
I'm gonna have to check that out. I really like that.
Yeah, and I mean the music is really strange, and it produces a lot of sense of dread and excitement, and it's like a journey through a, you know, chaos into calmness, and it's a really beautiful album.
Whenever I have music that you introduce me to, I make an assumption, first of all, that it must be Canadian. Because, you know, you're always promoting the Canadian bands in a good way. So I looked them up. They're from Dripping Springs, Texas.
Yes.
Which I had never heard of, but it's just not that far from Austin. So, cool.
Yeah.
Fun one.
It was one of the few albums that I just, that as soon as I listened to it, I knew it was going to be on my list.
And it stayed at number 10, and it couldn't be forced out. All right, great. Off to a good start. Jason, what's number 10?
Okay, well, I'm going sort of Nicholas's way of making a list this year and breaking all my rules, since 2020 was just sort of a mess anyway. So I'm going with Granddaddy. What do they call this? They called the Software Slump on a wooden piano. I sort of had been revisiting this album in the summer whenever I was doing like one of these Facebook posts, like every day with somebody tagged me, do your favorite album a day for 10 days. And I think I went for like 20 days posting these things. And yeah. And when I was putting together my list, I realized that I went back to my year 2000 list and I didn't even put the original album on there. So I kind of wanted to make up for it this year, and I gave him the number 10 spot. And so it's just the entire album, which is, I think, pretty much considered a classic these days. It's just him on piano and some slight embellishments with like some synths and stuff, but it's pretty nice. And I chose Hewlett's Daughter for the track.
Hewlett's daughter loved her father, and I think she loved me too for a little
Granddaddy, the Software Slump on a wooden piano. Yeah, I remember liking that album way back when it came out. And, you know, I was kind of like 2000. I don't know. I don't think I had quite come out of, you know, I hadn't quite come fully back into being a big music fan. I was probably still in my slump from maybe mid 90s to early 2000s. But I definitely remember that album. I wonder if I had it on CD. I can't remember. But I know that I knew that album. And that's great, right? That's a good version.
Yeah, I really like, I mean, you know, a lot of it's pretty, well, I mean, probably half of it's like kind of rocking and stuff, but these are all, everything's pretty slowed down, and it's really nice. And it kind of showcases him as being a much better piano player than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that that track there specifically does, but there's a lot of tracks on the album where I'm like, whoa, that's pretty fancy piano playing.
Cool. I'm going to say it's better than Ben Folds. What'd you say? Now I insulted all the Ben Folds fans. Sorry, Chris.
You're going to get some emails.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Anurag, number 9.
Number 9, Car Seat Headrest with their album Making a Door Less Open. And this guy has been just notching up on my list of awesome artists of this decade time and time again. And with this album, he's gone up even more. Because this album, they've totally rehashed their formula of how an album should be created. And I was first not very excited. This is one of those albums that I was talking about that I had to give it 2 or 3 listens to finally appreciate for what it really was. And I like how each song is like an exploration of joy, or the other song would be an exploration of sadness and just the superficiality of life in general. So I really like this album a lot. And I like the fact that this time it wasn't just a one-man show. From what I've been reading, quite a few of the other members participated in the album too. So we're going to listen to the song Hollywood. And just a fair warning, it does have some explicit language. So watch out. Car Seat Headrest, the 2020 release was Making a Door Less Open. You know, you talked about how the band is, there was more collaboration, and he's really changed his band. And I have to admit, I haven't really given much of a chance to the last couple albums. He changed it so much. And in his live performance, he was always the guitar player with kind of the supporting band and, you know, playing his indie rock hits. And he's transitioned to now that he's got this full band behind him and he just sings, which is totally different. I was so caught off guard, you know, and then so the band has just really changed, I think. And also in this song, quite a few of the lyrics are not sung by him. It's his band member, Andrew Katz. Yeah.
Okay. So they've made it more wild. Of a band than kind of his,
right.
His indie
rock. So
that's
what I really like. So hopefully we'll see some more exciting things from them. That's my number 9.
Great. Jason, what's okay. Number 9?
So this is my first release. Like I have 3 albums right in a row here that are going to all be from the Paisley Shirt Records out in California that I've talked about a little bit on the podcast before. And this is also breaking in my typical tradition. This was released really late November, and typically they wouldn't even get a shot, but I just loved it so much, and I might be just overly excited about it, so so I kept it low at number 9, but I think if I had more time with it, it probably would be higher.
Might sneak but, up Yeah,
definitely. If I had, you know, another 3 months, it might be, I don't know. Who knows where it would be. But so the band is called The Snogs. It's kind of a tricky word to say, but but it's pretty easy to find on Bandcamp. And Boyfriend's Dead is the album. And then I picked the song Watercolor Boy.
Snogs from Santa Cruz, California.
Yeah, super adorable. The female male vocals.
Yeah.
Very, very beat happening. If you've ever listened to them, Calvin Johnson sound with the voice. And I mean, just the instrumentation and everything, the way it's recorded.
Yep.
It's got that sound to it. It's got the classic Jason lo-fi
yep.
sound that I love.
That's right.
Yeah, so get ready for that, because there's going to be a couple more of those.
That's great. Yeah, I like that a lot. It's funny, I looked on their Bandcamp page, and it said it says the digital download costs $666.
They must want you to go someplace else to get it then, I guess, right?
Yeah, because then later it says available on Paisley Shirt Records, and then when you go to that site, then it's $5. <That's>,
yeah.
Wise shoppers would know.
Sorry, I've been trying to look for it and I can't find it.
Which one's that?
S-N-O-G-S.
Okay.
And then my phone always wants to correct it to song.
You read songs instead of snogs, yeah. Yep, it's up there.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I think that might be worth a $5 investment. I think it's not on the streaming services. Is none of the Paisley Shirt stuff on the streaming services, Jason?
I feel like he's got a few things on there, but... it might be a sort of, since, you know, it's such an independent label, it might be the sort of thing where the artist sets up their own streaming services type of thing if they want to do it. And then that way he doesn't have to deal with it.
Yeah. And then they can just do the Bandcamp for the label. And,
yeah. And then they like, cause I think he's, you know, he's mostly selling tapes at this point.
Yeah. You can get this one on cassette, like probably the other ones that you're bring up, you can too. So what a fun thing. It has this great retro sound. It kind of reminds me of the old television personalities and that what do you call that thing, a bell or a triangle or something like that
was there like a I don't know, like a xylophone or something like that going?
Yeah, there's like that little tingy sound and it totally adds to the whole kind of twee quality to it, right? Oh, it's great, love it. All right, Anurag.
Yes, sir.
Number 8.
Number 8, artist Porridge Radio, album Every Bad.
You're not going to get any disagreement from me on this one.
Yeah.
Love it.
The song we're going to listen to is Sweet.
My mom says that I look like a nervous wreck because I bite my nails right down to the flesh. And child, writing letters to myself, wishing out loud you were dead, and then taking it back. And I used to be ashamed until I learned I love the game, and I slowly move away from everything I knew about me. Gave me this pen, she said it lights up when you press it, and are you still so depressed? And I like it that you need me. You will like me when you meet me. You will like me when you meet me. You will like me when you meet me. You might even fall in love. I'm charming, I'm sweet, and she will love me when she meets me. She will love me when she meets me. I am charming, I am sweet. My mom says that I look like a nervous wreck because I bite my nails right down to the flesh. You will like me when you meet. You will like me when you meet me. You will like me when you meet me. You might even fall in love.
Well, I wanted to keep playing it till she says, thank you for leaving me. Thank you for making me happy.
That's, yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, God,
it reminds
I love
me of those angry albums from the 90s, right? But she's they've managed to stay away from that grunge label, so... Really enjoyed this quite a lot. Very reflective album, I would
say. Yeah. And it's got the loud and soft contrast, like the song shows. Yep. And then it's got, and it's just so well recorded, too, don't you think? It's got this like rich sound to it. Oh, I could just talk all day about how great it is. That's Porridge Radio from Brighton. So, fun stuff. I'm glad you like this one, Anurag.
I do.
It makes up for not liking Proto Martyr. I'll call that a makeup makeup call. All right, Jason.
Yeah.
What's number eight?
Number eight. Sad-Eyed Beatniks, Places of Interest. And this is the actual gentleman that runs Paisley Shirt Records, Kevin. This also came out in November, but I did get a little bit of an advanced copy through email. So
you're an insider.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin, for that. And it's really solid. It's a really solid album though, and I'm pretty for sure all recorded on 4-track, and I picked out the song West of Twin Peaks.
Wow, that's another good one. sad-eyed beatniks, places of interest.
I like the use of the spoken word that was possibly recorded on a little tape recorder. Or something.
That's what it sounds like. yeah.
And then fed in through the microphone or something.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I think it's going to be time to make some Bandcamp investments.
There you go.
Yeah. That's a really good one. That's just so fun.
Sorry, my wife just walked in from a girls' night, so I hope you didn't catch all
that. Wild night out? No, we didn't get to hear it. We probably it'd be fun.
Oh, okay.
Does she want to come on the podcast?
I did ask her. She said no.
We only get limited. We get wives to say like 5 words. You know
exactly. Yep.
Every once in a while, there's a little cameo. So
no, I really like this song, man. That was delightful. Yeah,
really, really.
Yeah,
good.
It's really
go back to it.
It's a really the whole album is really, really great.
Cool.
Great for Paisley shirt, man. They're
he's had a heck of a year. I mean, yeah.
Why are they releasing this stuff in November though? Maybe because it's just continuous.
I feel like every month he's been putting something out, and
oh wow!
And I've been enjoying just about everything that's been coming out of there.
I was gonna say he doesn't care about our lists. Well, that's why.
That's true. Clearly, does not care about our lists.
Nope.
Let's see. We're up to Anurag's number 7 now.
Number 7. I'm surprised this wasn't on, or was it on Chris's list?
No, I think
Laura
this is
Marling.
I think she was honorable mention.
Oh wow!
For Chris, yeah.
The album "Song for Our Daughter" and album is "Song for Our Daughter" and song is "Strange Girl."
Laura Marling, the album is Song for Our Daughter. Anurag's number 7.
Yeah, so she carries on that Joni Mitchell tradition of those folk songs.
Yeah.
Again, it's a very personal album. And I love listening to this album on my headphones because that voice, oh man, it just carries me to a blissful place. Of course, it's immediately shattered when she sings her personal and sharp lyrics about rape and God knows what not. Jarring, but yeah, good album.
Some people just have a voice, right? I mean, that's like you can be skilled through experience and training or whatever, but there's a natural voice that some people have, you know, and hers is pretty amazing.
It is.
And she's become a Will's Band of the Week veteran. I mean, I think, you know, Chris has mentioned her the most, but she's been on our podcast a lot. So she probably qualifies as a podcast favorite. So cool. She's still going strong.
She is.
Laura Marling. And now, for the third in a series, Jason's number 7.
Yeah, we're back to the Paisley shirt one more time. And I believe this is Pulling a Barrett, where you combine 2 EPs for 1 album spot. So we're going to Flower Town, who I got to bring on the podcast earlier this year. I think we talked about Teresa Street, the EP, the second EP that they put out this year.
Yep, I remember that.
But I've picked a track from the first EP just because I think we played probably half of the half of that other release. So I picked out the track Natural Light.
Flower Town. Yeah, I think you're 3 for 3 on the Paisley shirt releases.
Good job, Jason. Yeah,
and I mean, this is a side project from, you know, two other projects that are also on Paisley shirt, Cindy and Tony J. And Cindy's that band is actually getting a lot of press, I've seen it on a couple of top tens this year from some of the blogs on the internet. And so, but I had to go with, I just preferred these releases over that one personally, but it's still totally worth your time to go check out a lot of the releases that they put out this year.
Yep. San Francisco based and great. Love it. All right. Anurag, we're up to number 6.
Number 6, Corner Shop.
And we talked about this earlier in the year, right?
Yes, we did. Yep. And I thought it would fall off my list. It didn't. It's still there, riding high at 6. Album is England is a Garden, and the song we listen to is Saint Mary Under Cannon.
Corner Shop, England Corner is a Shop. Garden. And you'd probably guess that they'd be from England, right? So
yes,
Bandcamp confirms they're from London.
So I'd all about given up hope on this band, but when this came out, it took me by surprise. And overall, it's a really joyous album. Really like it. All the songs are just amazing. And I am kind of biased because the lead singer is of Indian origin. So he speaks Punjabi, which is my mother tongue as well. So he incorporates that a lot into his songs. I'd always thought it's jarring to hear Punjabi in these rock songs, but it's not. It's a lot of fun. So, yep.
And I think they've good got there's some sort of diverse instrumentation on the album too,
yes,
right?
Yeah. So it incorporates a few, not a lot, but a few Indian instruments. So you can hear that.
Yeah. Cool. That's really fun.
I bet I probably have the album with Brimful of Asha on my 98 or 99 top 10 way back when.
Way back when. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. They qualify as aging rockers, I guess.
They do. Yeah.
All right. Really cool. Jason, what's number six?
Oh, number six. Okay. We all talked about this album together. Lomelda.
Yeah.
Hannah. And I guess we talked about it a lot then, so I don't need to talk about it again. But I think I picked out a track that we didn't play that day. It's Infinite.
Lomelda and the album Hannah. And her name is Hannah.
It's beautiful.
Her name is Hannah Reed. And Jason introduced us to Lomelda last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was my favorite last year, and she's been knocked down a peg or two.
Yeah, she's probably disappointed to be only number six.
I'm sorry.
Probably insulted that there were five things you liked more.
I'm gonna write a formal apology letter to her tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I think she's owed that.
She was waiting for that sales boost for Christmas,
right? And and it's like number six. Come on. but what was cool was that you introduced us to her last year. So when this came out, I was ready for it. You know, it was like a cool anticipated thing, and it didn't disappoint. It's an excellent album.
It is a beautiful album.
So great. All right. Are we up to number five now?
Yeah.
We're up to number five.
Oh, boy.
Back half.
Oh, boy. Let's see how long have we taken. Oh, no, we're not doing too bad. We're going at just the perfect pace here that the listeners will stay engaged. So we have to balance that as professionals, right? You want to have a full discussion. You want to give them their $0 mm-hmm. worth. But you want to keep it moving so the listeners stay engaged. I think right now they're still engaged.
Okay, good.
And when they hear Anurag's number five, they'll obviously continue to be engaged.
Yes, my number five is Midwife. This band came up in our discussion with good Lord, I'm forgetting right now. We had a discussion with Helena Deland.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she mentioned this, right? Was it Helena or was it Couch Prince?
No, I'm not sure.
I'm forgetting. It was on the same day, so that's why I'm kind of mixing up who we spoke to about Midwife and their album Forever. It's just five songs, but I chose them as an album because I just listened to this so much, so I didn't care if it was identified as an EP or not. So the song we'll listen to is Swim. It's got a long intro, by the way, Will, so be aware.
Do you want me to start it kind of after a little
maybe
bit?
Start it at 30-second point?
All right, we'll cut in slightly so we can get into the meat of the track.
Yeah.
This is Midwife. Wow, that's great. I have not listened to that album at all. Midwife, the album is Forever. I looked it up while we were playing the track. Of course, the first thing that pops up is the Pitchfork 7.1 review.
I'll just skip those.
Right. But they described her as Denver slowcore artist Madeline Johnston.
So this was inspired by, I call it the perfect 2020 album. It's very dark, mysterious, but also very uplifting at the same time. She made this album after suicide of a very close friend, and the lyrics do like reflect that. I don't want to swim forever. I don't want to fight the tide. So it's like talking about suicide, of course. But it's a bleak album. But I get the sense, you know, after listening to it, you think that okay, just let's just grieve right now. And then in the morning, it'll all be okay. So that's how I look at it. Beautiful album.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Another one to explore. I feel like you guys are like kind of beating me out with the cool, more obscure things. I've become a stock indie rocker.
Stuff that Jason is producing. I'm definitely going back to that.
Yeah, that's great. Great stuff. Well, now we're up to Jason's number five.
Yep, which is, it's pretty hi-fi, right? Thirsts and More by The Fire. We spent about 6 hours talking about this album earlier this
yeah,
year. So
I think so.
I picked a shorter track on the album to play called Dreamer's Work. Feel free to either just let the first couple of minutes of guitar play, or you can skip ahead 2 minutes and have him sing whatever you prefer.
Let's see, editorial discretion here. I'm going to be random. We'll fade it in somewhere and we'll see what happens, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Thurston Moore. That. Thank you. Thurston Moore, the album is By the Fire, another aging rocker who's staying strong, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
And that's just unmistakably Thurston Moore, but his guitar work never gets old, does it? For some reason.
Not to me.
Yeah. Yep, that was a really, really fun release. And then when did the two-hour album come out? Was that earlier this year or was that 2019?
I think that was last year, like the one that was, just really long.
It literally had a track that was an hour, I think.
Yeah.
So. I kept thinking, This is ridiculous. And this one is a little more, I mean, it has like some 10-minute tracks and that kind of thing, but it's manageable. You know, it mixes up the loud and the quiet, and it mixes up the short and the long songs, and
totally
very worthy. Yeah,
it was kind of more of a best of Thurston Moore approach.
I don't know how I missed this album completely this year. I also missed the podcast that you did then. Otherwise, I would have paid more attention to it.
Yeah, well, now you have a chance. So
it was a doozy of a podcast because it was the two of us and Chris and Nicholas.
Oh, all Thurston Moore fans.
And we had a 120-minute album to dissect.
How did we ever keep that under 2 hours? I don't even know how.
I don't know. But we had another two or three bands too. It was a full night.
Always fun. Always good. All right, Anurag, number four.
Number 4. So this is a band called Atomic Rest. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's from the band's kind of from Africa, the country's Mali, and from France. And they include a lot of their band members are from their nomadic tribes of North Africa. So I've been following this band for quite a long time. In fact, they have come up in the past in my top 10. A little while ago. They are heavily influenced by Jimi Hendrix and Pink Floyd, and so their music is pretty standard rock and roll music. It's very good. I don't understand a thing they're saying because they're speaking in, you know, their language, but it's just so soothing and really otherworldly for me. And also the history that they have, that this band members are heavily into the politics of the regions that they come from. But they refuse to get into the violence, and they actively refuse to. In fact, to the point where I think one or two members had to flee the country and go to France. So anyway, so it's really good stuff. Very calming, very soothing compared to some dark albums that we've been listening to. And the song we're going to listen to is Tim Taran. Oh,
That's Tamacrest, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I guess so. I really don't know myself.
Yeah, I looked at their Bandcamp page. It's beautiful. Have you seen it? It's like super colorful.
Yeah.
And the band is completely diverse and, oh, it's just totally cool. And you're right. There's something soothing. I just let it keep playing for a while because
she has an English verse in that song as well. She sings later on. So you kind of get the sense of what she's trying to say. So it's really beautiful. I listen to it quite often. Yeah.
Great. Great pick. We don't have a whole lot of African music that we feature on the podcast. So that's mm-hmm. great. Awesome. All right. That's Anurag's number 4. So now it's time for Jason's number 4. What a fun one. Ooh. I love it. I love that somebody found a spot for this one.
Well, it's all thanks to this podcast that this band is back in my life. Like No Age, you guys had... I don't remember his name.
Randy.
Randy? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You had him on the podcast interviewing him, and I think, you know, like late 2000s, like 2010, I was really into their first few albums, and then I just sort of fell off with them, probably throughout my five-year tenure of not really paying attention to, like, what was coming out after having a kid.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I was really happy that you had him on and played tracks from the album, and I've even started, you know, like following them on Instagram, because they've been doing a lot of behind the scenes sort of things, talking about guitars and pedals and recording and everything that they probably wouldn't have been doing if they had been out on tour. So that's kind of a perk of being stuck at home, I guess. But so it's No Age. I don't know if I said that. And the album, they called it Goons Be Gone. And then I picked the track Head Sport Full Face.
No Age, the album is Goons Be Gone.
That was rocking.
And the album is, it's they do so much with the two-person format, the guitarist and drummer, but they just they're really creative. They've mixed in all kinds of great creative things, and album, and Randy was so great. It was so fun to have him on. Great.
Yeah,
glad you got a spot.
It just boggles
for that one.
My mind, like, how they create. Because I've seen them live, I think, once, and the volume that the two people can make, just it was incredible. And just a really nice, I don't want to say comeback. I'm sure I need to go back still and listen to the last couple of things that they've released. It's probably just, they're probably just as good, but I was happy to have them back. So yeah, thanks to you guys.
Great, great. Thanks mainly to No Age, though. Very cool. Okay, now it's going to get really fun because Anurag is going to break our podcast into indie rock stardom with his number 3 pick.
I'm so sad to say that I've never listened to any of her albums before this. So what a great way to start, right?
Talking Taylor about Swift?
No. You know, speaking of Taylor Swift, today is December 10th. And I think news came out that she's going to drop another album.
Yeah, I was going to suggest we could probably record for like the next few hours and drop. We could review it tonight.
Review it as we're listening to it for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get my daughter to do it because she's suddenly become a big Taylor Swift fan. Yeah, she went from the Arctic Monkeys to Taylor Swift. But she says she's really changed and she loves it. Anyway, so I'm talking about Fiona Apple, not Taylor Swift.
Oh.
And, yep, so this is the first time I've listened to Fiona Apple. And the first time I listened to it, and again, I just, you know, fell in love. I mean, like all the songs are kind of like all over the map. The instrumentation, the music, but they're kind of like loosely structured around her really powerful voice. And she's always sounding so strong, so confident, and so honest. So I'm looking forward to my journey into her previous albums. The song we're going to listen to is Relay.
Turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. I'll resent you for being raised right. I'll resent you for being tall. I'll resent you for never getting any opposition at all. I'll resent you for having each other. I'll resent you for being so sure. I'll resent you presenting your life like a fucking propaganda brochure. And I see that you keep trying to fade me, and I love to get up in your face. But I know if I hate you for hating me, I will have entered the endless race. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. I'll resent you for being raised.
That's Fiona Apple, and the album is Fetch the Bolt Cutters. And you know, I keep thinking the bolt cutters can't be stopped. You know, you could try to hold them back, but they're gonna make their way onto the podcast because it's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, it is.
This thing has been huge on the. It's been everywhere on the top 10 list.
There are. I think I've seen multiple ones where it's number one.
Yeah,
totally justified, right?
Well, I didn't really listen to it that much. You know, it's another one of those things where, you know, if I just decided, it's kind of like I do with my wife, and I do this with TV shows. We're like, we're gonna start a new show. We're gonna watch 3 episodes, and if after 3 episodes we're just kind of not into it, we'll just say okay, forget it. But sometimes, usually after 3 episodes, if we think it's a show we might like, usually by 3 episodes we're like, okay, we're in. We're gonna watch the rest of it. So I kind of think that way with albums sometimes, where if you decide to listen to it 3 times, then you kind of know it well enough to know if you want to listen more. But if you don't invest that much, then, you know, you're never going to know. True. So, you know, right. I just didn't do that with this one.
Yeah, I think I listened to it on the day it came out because everyone was so excited about it. And I think there was so much going on just, you know, outside of the album in the world. And then, like, and in this album, it seemed like it was really busy, and I just could not sort of focus on it enough. So,
right.
I owe Fiona a little bit more of a chance.
Yeah.
Well, we have Anurag to pay tribute to it, so that's good.
I can add her to my list of apology letters if you guys think it'd be a good idea.
You could draft a letter. You can just fill in the blanks for the artist. Dear blank, I'm sorry I didn't listen to your album this year. I'm sure it would have been great.
There's 20,000 other albums released that we had to get to.
Yeah. Okay. Jason's number three. You know, did you tell me about this album? Or did I tell you about it? Or did we just discover it independently? I can't remember now.
I think we discovered it independently because I was surprised when you guys had it on the podcast. And I wish I'd said something about it because I would have loved to have talked about it. Obviously, because it's my number three album of the year.
And when I heard it, I honestly thought, this seems like something Jason would like. because it just has a... it's not as lo-fi as some of your, you know, like your Paisley Shirt stuff, but it's still got that character, right? There's something about it.
Yeah, it's got that Yola Tango Stereo Lab vibe that I am one to love. And yeah, I had a friend on Instagram, like a, you know, cross the country fan friend, and that sent it to me and said that they thought that I would like it, and they were right. Although my family hated it, and it was, I think, the most vetoed album that I tried to put on
in the car
when we were driving around.
No, they rejected it. Enough. Huh?
What is the album? Who's the artist?
Anurag is just, it's killing him, right? I love the suspense. You know, here's what we should do. Let's have the band introduce themselves.
Oh, good.
Hi.
Yes.
This is Oyana from Melenas, speaking to you from Pamplona in the north of Spain. We want to present you Días Raros, our second album, out in Trouble in Mind Records. And thank you for listening. We hope you like it. Un abrazo. Bye.
There you go.
Perfect.
It's Melenas.
It's great. I don't know how to say the name of the song that I picked. So I've got it on
Google. No puedo pensar.
I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah. No puedo pensar.
So it translates to I cannot think is the track I picked.
Melenas, and I'll pronounce the album wrong probably, Días Raros.
Oh, I have that pulled up on Google Translate if you need it, but... Oh, no, I guess I don't. Never mind.
Yeah, very Spanish.
Oh, I completely missed this. That was really good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
They have really fun videos, too, that they've probably made in quarantine, where they are definitely homemade and probably using their phones to make them... But really solid album.
Jason's number three. All right. I should have already said this is getting serious, right? Because when we get to number three, we have to say how serious it is. But number two, once again, number two is the album that would have been number one if the number one album had not come out. So it's really serious. We got to stop laughing and really be serious about this now. Anurag number two. Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to say nobody's going to be surprised.
Nobody's going to be surprised. Waxahachie, Saint Cloud. And this album came out just as things were beginning to shut down. So she couldn't really promote her stuff, which was very sad. But then she made these wonderful homemade sessions that she did with her... Is he her boyfriend or husband? I forget.
I think boyfriend.
Well, boyfriend. So anyway, so this is a quintessential Americana album. I just love her voice so much. I mean, like, each record that she's made, you can tell what kind of mental state she is in. And this album, like, proclaims that she is much more comfortable in her skin and kind of embraced the messiness of her growing years. So, and we're going to listen to the song, The Eye, but I do want to say the closer track, the title track, Saint Cloud. It's like one of the best closers I've heard this year. So in any case, let's listen to The Eye. How many times I've listened to this album.
It's the most Americana album, I think, that she's done, right?
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes she does a little more rockin' stuff, and but it seems like everything she does well.
She proclaimed herself sober a few months before she made the album, so I think that kind of reflects on the music, too. It's like low-key, and, you know, it's not... like it was on Ivy Trip, that was like the best album that she's made. But yeah, she was going through messy life, personally speaking, back then. But so I'm glad. It's a good album.
Yeah, sometimes
excited to see what she does next.
Sometimes messy lives and troubles make for great creativity and good albums. And then it's good to see when somebody when you're happier and doing better. You can still put out a good album, right? So that's great.
That's the proof.
Yep. All right. Waxahachie, and the album is Saint Cloud, Anurag's number two. And now, Jason, first runner-up.
Man, this would have been number one.
Yep.
Had it not been for number one.
Right.
For sure. So this is Microphones in 2020. Phil Elverum is the lead guy of the Microphones, and he typically does things under the name Mount Erie, or he has for like the last almost 20 years. And I think he kind of maybe started coming back and using this name, the Microphones, maybe a year or two ago, maybe just like playing some shows or something. And so anyway, he's put out this album, and it's like, it's really pretentious. It's one song and it's 45 minutes long, and and it's basically like two chords. And I did not like expect to like it as much as I just loved it. And it's like kind of like a memoir, you know, about, you know, growing up and especially like his early 20s when he was really active as recording as the Microphones. And, you know, he's gone through like some pretty openly, like in the public, like some personal trauma, I think, losing his wife a few years ago. And he's he's released albums that are written entirely about her, and I have not been able to make it through like the first song of those albums. They're so hard to listen to. Mm-hmm. But this just like I really connected with it. I think it was just, you know, maybe at certain times during this year being nostalgic for being in your early 20s and doing whatever you wanted to do. So I actually edited this down because it's not on streaming services, so I had to kind of give Will a little chunk of 2 minutes worth of it. So you have to imagine it's been going for about 10 to 11 minutes at this point, and there's been barely any words, and it's been basically like two chords, and then he starts to sing at about 9 or so minutes in, and you can take it from here, Will.
Dawn was loud. I took my breakfast to the couch on the porch of the punk house. Coffee and low tide smell, and my life stretching out. Spending hours each morning reading poems and staring off. And then snapping back to urgency, I did my dishes. I would sprint to the studio again. I'd spend all day and night digging in. Distorted bass, splice tape, singing lines like there's no end. And I won't look for you in my room about my friend. Check the microphones at hotmail.com like once a week. I would drive out to the ocean and not tell anybody. Watch Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in a dollar theater in Aberdeen. It was a rainy matinee, 2001, Sunday, March 18th. And in the parking lot for a few minutes in the rain, I stood glowing with ideas of what I might try to convey with this music. At that moment, my mind flashing like a blade. 22-year-old
Microphones in 2020. Wow, that's it's great that you did that editing job. It's so intimidating, a 45-minute track, right? Which is kind of weird because if they just put spaces every 4 minutes, it would just be a 12-track album or whatever.
Yeah, that's so true, yeah. But yeah, I kind of wondered what the vinyl was like. I really contemplated buying it because does it just stop midway through and you got to flip it over? I'm sure he faded it out or something at some point. But there's a really great video that he did where I kind of like fell in love with it on YouTube on his channel, and it's just. The video is like kind of looking down on a table, and it's just his hand putting down photographs, and he's arranged like all these photographs, and it goes for the entire album, and they sort of coincide with what's going on in the lyrics. Like when he mentions that he's 17 years old, he puts down a picture of himself at 17, and then 22 or 25 or whatever he says, and so it seemed like a pretty big endeavor to do. He just kind of would put down like, you know, 10 or 12 photos and then wipe them to the side and start another pile. But I guess I listened to some interviews with him, and he definitely had it arranged and ready to go. And yeah, it's a really cool, really awesome work of art.
That's wow. really cool.
Man. Wow, that is great. Did either of you ever hear the, there was something like about a 45-minute track by Paul Westerberg that he did?
No.
And it's sort of a collage. It's fascinating. I'm going to have to go back and revisit that. Maybe I'll go into the vault for that one. He did this thing, which was sort of a collection of songs, but it's all just mushed together into one giant track. But he'll like fade out and fade in till, and then it's like another song, you know. But he put it out as one giant track, and it's just fascinating. And I just remember listening to that and just thinking, this is like really fun. So probably kind of a different concept, because I think it's more, you know, actually different tracks than something like this, which just sort of seems like a thematic developing thing through the whole 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like amazed that I was able to enjoy these like few chords for that long. I just thought, there's no way I'm gonna like this at all. And
yeah,
I listened to it on repeat throughout the summer.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, that was number two. You know what that means? Anurag's got a really obscure artist that no one's ever heard of, and he's gonna bring this to our attention. For number one for 2020.
This guy's a struggling artist, and he really needs attention, so I'm giving it to him. My number one is Bob Dylan.
I knew it.
I'm taking Will's Band of the Week, kicking and screaming into Bob Dylan's world.
Yep.
Yeah, we did a podcast recently on Bob Dylan, and we extolled on his music prowess and his, you know, his lyrics and the way he can combine both to a stunning ability to make me feel things that I don't think I've ever felt before. Anyway, so the song we're going to listen to is his 17-minute long song. I hope, Will, we can listen to the whole of it.
Sure, 17 minutes.
Murder Most Foul, yeah.
It was a dark day in Dallas, November 63, a day that would live on in infamy. President Kennedy was a right line, good day to be living and a good day to die. He had led to the slaughter like a sacrificial lamb. He said, wait a minute, boys, you know who I am. Of course we do, we know who you are. Then they blew off his head while he was still in the car. Shot down like a dog in broad daylight. Was a matter of timing, and the timing was right. You got unpaid debts, we've come to collect. We're gonna kill you with hatred without any respect. We'll mock you and shock you, and we'll grin in your face. We've already got someone here to take your place. The day they blew out the brains of the king, thousands were watching, no one saw a thing. It happened so quickly, so quick by surprise. Right there in front of everyone's eyes. Greatest magic trick ever under the sun. Perfectly executed, skillfully done. Wolfman, oh wolfman, oh wolfman, howl. Rub-a-dub-dub, it's a murder most foul.
And he just became a multi-millionaire recently when he sold his catalog.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yeah, what do you do? How old is he? 78? Something like that.
There, yeah.
And that, I don't know what his family situation is, or like, do you know? Does he have kids or? He's got Jacob Dylan. I remember him.
Right, yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. At some point, you might as well sell. Then you can control where it goes. I don't know. I can't even understand that concept of like selling the catalog. Didn't Paul McCartney sell the Beatles catalog or something like that, like 10 years ago?
No, I think the way it works is that the publishing company owns your music. And I don't know how Bob Dylan was able to own all this, his own music, because the Beatles, Paul McCartney had to fight tooth and nail for some of his songs. And I think he lost a lot of the songs to Michael Jackson, in fact. That's how he built his estate.
There's something weird about that.
I don't know Jason, you would know, right, how these publishing companies work.
Oh, no, I'm on a much lower level than old Paul and Bob.
One of those big publishing companies is going to buy all Jason's cassettes and take over the rights.
I'm ready for it. Go for it.
His kids will enjoy it, not him.
That's right. That's fine with me.
Your girls will be rich someday because they'll inherit the catalog, the Red Pants catalog.
And all this beautiful crap down here in the basement.
Right. The space heater included. A couple of blankets. Anurag, that's great. I mean, I really, I'm totally good with you imposing Bob Dylan on the podcast. And I think it's just great that an artist this late in his career can inspire people. And it's just great. It's awesome. Well, Jason, you know, a point comes where you got to declare number one, and it's time. It's time for you to do that.
I'm breaking my rules because I'm putting a 2019 release on as my number one. But you know, in my defense, like it came out in December of 2019.
Yeah. Well, there's no opportunity opportunity to be on.
And I really didn't hear it until like the spring. And so the band is called Duster, and it's a self-titled release. And I've never heard of this band, but apparently in the late 90s, they put out a couple of albums that were, you know, sort of these lo-fi classics. And they were on the same independent label as Built to Spill and Modest Mouse before they became what they are now. And it's sort of like, how did I miss this band? Because the other two albums are also really great. Better late than never, I guess. So I discovered them in the spring, and I just listened to it so much, I felt like it deserved the spot, because it had, you know, I looked at my play counts for the year and my iPod, and it was number one. So I chose the song Summer War as my track.
Yeah.
Duster. I remember reading about this, and I remember hearing about them back a long time ago, and I just, they kind of just passed me by. I missed them.
Yeah, another significant thing was like that they put out these two albums and then they just sort of disappeared. I think the members all have significant side projects or whatever that they have been working on, but it's been like 19 years since they had put out an album, and then they put out this, and I just think it was awesome. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty incredible to take that long of a break, even though they're probably still playing together in other projects, but to come back together and put together a really good collection of songs, it's pretty impressive.
That's a really cool sound.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool sound where it's kind of like the bridge between lo-fi and not too lo-fi or something.
Yeah, they got they got the kind of Guided by Voices mid-fi sound going, I think.
Yeah. So how many Guided by Voices albums were there this year? Like three, maybe?
I think that they're about to actually put out their fourth next week.
Wow.
I think. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's one coming out. No, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Oh,
Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
Not surprising.
So I'm sure it's going to be great.
You know, I think there was one that was really good this year and a couple that were kind of questionable. Hey, look, Chris is here.
Hey.
Well, hey, we're just going to sign off now, Chris. So good night.
Good night, Chris. Bye.
we just talked about the number ones. Your timing was perfect.
All right. Who's number ones? Who had what at number one?
Do you want us to tell you what number one was?
I do.
Anurag had Bob Dylan and Jason.
Really?
And Jason had Duster.
Huh. Yep. I know the Bob Dylan was very well reviewed.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I'm hoping it'll be on somebody else's list too, but what the hell? It's number one on my list.
I just figure I'm never on the podcast, so I thought I'd chime in.
Yeah.
I was only on for 3 hours last week.
Right. Oh my God! You guys gave me this editing job, man. It felt like it took 2 days, but you know it's enjoyable. This is the way that I listen to the podcast, is through the editing process, and then it's very inspiring to take out my own mistakes. So it's fine. It's enjoyable.
All right. Well, I didn't want to take over. I just wanted to pop in and say hello and good luck to you guys. But it's already over. So
it's already over.
whatever luck you had, it's no good anymore.
Right, right. I think you'll enjoy it, though. I mean, the music is excellent. So
all right.
You won't be disappointed.
I'll listen to it the second it goes up.
All right. Great.
All right. See you guys.
Okay.
See
bye.
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 That was a cameo from Ron Swanson Studios.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, well, thanks, you guys. Really awesome. I mean, those picks were just great. And it's like, I feel like I'm, you know, I can't listen to the podcast as an outside listener, but I just feel like if I had been listening to this, I'd be like absorbing it all. And I think I'm going to be spending some money on Bandcamp, which is good. And yeah, just all good. Just great stuff. It even, you know, I'm just excited for all the rest of the picks. I think David, this is a fun thing. David's going to invite a special guest to do a top 10 along with him.
Who do you think it is? It's his kids or wife?
No, it's an Instagram friend. And David is the official curator of the Will's Band Instagram. So it's kind of like new to me. So this is going to be cool. And then we've got a few more too, so it's going to be good.
Excellent, you're doing a good job, Will. Yep, it's good stuff.
Yeah, thanks for putting this together every week. It's been a nice thing to have over the course of this year, especially.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. There probably was a time where I was wondering, can we maintain this through the pandemic? And you know, there's a part of it that's you know, people are out of their routines. So we have a little bit fewer listeners. I think just because people are like not in their like routine of like driving to work and back and stuff and all that stuff. And then there's no live music. So hopefully we'll get it bumped up again. We don't really care, you know, how many listeners we have. But I think, yeah, I think we've got enough momentum now to make it through. And then when the live stuff starts coming out, we'll just, you know, have the live reports and it'll just explode again, don't you think?
Yep.
Jason's going to get out on tour, do the 100 city tour, U.S. tour. Oh. Bring the kids along.
Oh, man, there better be some major vaccinations like that are really like working.
They better be good.
Leave my town.
Yeah. You know, your daughters could go on tour with you, maybe, but maybe they need to be like 10 or something, right? Like when both of them are like when they're
Camille, my older one, just a couple more years, she'll be 10.
Yeah. How many years apart are they?
She'll be playing drums for me by then.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What are they? They're just a few years apart, right?
Yeah. So they're 4 and 8.
4 and 8. Oh. So. Okay, so in
you
like
make her watch those videos. Who's just become that YouTube star? That she did a drum.
The drum off with Dave Grohl.
The Dave Grohl. Yeah.
Nandi Bushell. I think that's the name.
Just she's from Ipswich, by the way.
Yeah.
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 Did you? I hope you can get your daughter to that level, Jason, so that she can do a drum off with Dave Grohl. maybe since the drum off with.
Started.
Maybe since the drum off with Dave Grohl has already been done, she could do a guitar riff battle with Jimmy Page.
There you go. I do have. I bought her a little mini Fender Strat for Christmas that I have hidden away.
Oh, that is awesome! So, great.
I'm ready to train her.
Yeah, so you got the little short scale one.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'd be like, plug this into the 4-track and you just turn it all the way up.
Oh, that is so great.
You can, you're the next Guided by Voices.
Has she played around on your guitars at all?
Yeah, and we've got like ukuleles and we've got a small size acoustic guitar for her too. But you know, she just kind of, I've shown her like the E minor chord and how she can just sort of move that up the.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And, it's a good one.
And so she does that, but, she's been pretty more into drumming, and then I can play guitar to her.
Oh, that's great.
And she's getting to where she can keep a beat. So that's great.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. But
the 4-year-old comes downstairs and she's like, oh, it's too loud. Turn it down. So she's not quite there yet.
Right.
That'll change.
You got to work on her for the bass playing.
Well, I've got a friend who has 4 sons, and he literally, I don't know how he did this. He literally made all 4 of his sons into musicians, and they all, he's one of the best musicians I know, and his 4 kids are, you know, at least as good as him. And so they do this family band thing, and it's just ridiculous. You know, they'll play like their family playing a Led Zeppelin cover, you know, it's like they can do it.
Wow.
And, it's just absolutely amazing. So, yeah. So maybe you'll have that, Jason. You'll have, oh man, just like having your daughter drumming for you would be super cool. If she can even keep like a little bit of a beat right now at age 8, man, that's a great start.
Yeah.
Anurag, does your daughter play any instruments?
I was going to say I should show off a little bit too, because my daughter's writing songs now.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So she just played me a song recently that she did on the Queen's Gambit. Have you seen that series?
I'm watching it now. We're on episode 3 or 4.
It's on my list.
So good.
Yeah. So my daughter finished watching it in one sitting. 17-year-old.
Of course.
She just did a song on it. So I was just begging her, just put it up on the social media, and she's absolutely against it. So,
well, you know, you could talk her into opening up a Bandcamp page underneath a fake name or something, and then
you could only,
but then you get to share it with all of your friends.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's a good idea.
Exactly. Like that. Okay. Yeah. The mean, next stuff.
You can be pretty anonymous on there.
The next Lamelda, right? That is going to be awesome. Oh, I can't wait.
So was the song inspired by the show?
Yeah.
Very cool.
So she kind of made it, yep. So the song is called A Chess Game, so it's by the show, yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, do that.
I'm going to continue pushing her.
Yeah,
put up something. But yeah, that's a good idea, Jason. Just choose a fake name and put it up.
Do the band camp.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you don't tell anybody, then literally it almost literally isn't even there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like having this is what I tell people about having. I remember like when it was like, this is probably like 10 years ago when it was like, oh, you can have a blog or you can have a website or whatever. And I remember saying, you know, that's just like having a telephone number, right? It doesn't mean that anybody's going to look at it, but at least you have it there and you could make it available to somebody if you want to.
Yeah.
So we're trying to inspire your daughter on rock.
So. In fact, I was telling her that just join me because she's going to stay up late today for that Taylor Swift album to drop. So I was telling her, join me for a few seconds, just say hi. But nope, she's a very shy girl. She's got terrible straight fright, so
yeah,
she does not want to.
A lot of artists are that way, you know. Michael Stipe was shy, you know. Yeah.
And he did okay.
Yeah, he did fine. Did
okay. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, being 17 is very hard.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm not pushing in. But that's a good idea, Jason. I'll definitely.
Yeah, I mean, and like the thing with the Bandcamp is you can put a couple of tags on there, and I go through the tags every once in a while. So it's possible that somebody could hear it and then they could send like a nice note that says like, hey, I really like this. And then gives them further encouragement to keep making things.
Okay.
So, yep. Yeah.
I'll definitely float that. Yep. Good idea.
And the cool thing is like, I would think that like what would make a 17-year-old more self-conscious than anything would be like exposing her, you know, art to her friends, right? Or people that who know her. And if you do the anonymous thing, then like nobody's going to know that. And then she can just share it as she decides to.
So,
all right. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the cool name. And if she lets you share it with us, we'd love to listen to it. So we're going to have like a bunch of budding superstars, you know, like Fox Ogburn and Jason's daughters and Anurag's daughter and probably Wilson, Barrett's son. He'll get a rock and music going.
Haven't heard from him for a little while.
Right.
Is he going to do one of his top 10s?
I don't know. Wilson, are you out there? He did the top 8 of 1968 a couple of years ago, I think.
That was a great one.
Yeah, it was a fun one. All right. I guess we could reach the point where people are saying, come on, guys, time to sign off.
Okay. Right? Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. You guys, thanks a lot. It's been great. We'll keep on rocking. We'll talk to you again in, when we revisit new music again in January, February, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
All right. We'll talk to everybody again next week. Who knows what's going to happen next week, but we know it'll be fun, whatever it is. With another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.